this for my culture, 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 culture.
Peace and welcome to For the Culture right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in. Tonight, folks, we're going to talk about how serious should we take a student's threat. We're going to look at this issue of threat assessment as Baltimore City Schools is looking to put together a plan to prepare for a possible mass shooting. We're also going to talk about how Rihanna rejected the Super Bowl performance to not be a sellout. Okay. And then Hip Hop is Green is taking over Baltimore housing. Stay riding with me. That's all coming up tonight on For the Culture here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA. We'll be right back.
I do this for my culture, 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 culture.
Peace and welcome to For the Culture here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this evening, folks. It is official, folks. Dre Day, tell them what day it is.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is?
Come on.
Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
Leslie,
guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Hump day. It is officially hump day. Happy Wednesday, folks. Julie, tell me. I like how Julie, it's hump day. It is officially hump day, folks. We got a great show for you tonight. We're going to talk about something very, very important. I'm not going to make light of this topic at all. Very important. We're going to talk about threats. I got to talk about threats. There's been a new report that just came out saying that Baltimore City Public Schools are preparing to put together a safety package that's going to be pushed further into the General Assembly. But they're going to be putting together like a safety package to outline what the policies and procedures are in the case of mass shootings in Baltimore City, if that ever happens. We're going to talk a little bit about this because, more importantly, I'm going to talk not just about that package, but I really want to talk about what could be the start of a mass shooting, which comes all the way down to a simple threat. And so we want to have this conversation. And I'm asking the big question, how serious should we take a student's threat? Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about that. Also, we got to talk about, if we have the time, we'll certainly talk about Rihanna's new, she did a new interview with Vogue magazine and said that she refused to perform for the Super Bowl because she did not want to be seen as a sellout. Rihanna, aren't you signed to the person that just made an aren't you? Okay, we'll talk about that later. And at 6:30, folks, we'll be talking to the folks from Hip Hop is Green and the Housing Authority of Baltimore City, as they're going to be a takeover of food this weekend. And we'll discuss how you can go out and support a fabulous cause of good eating, good wealth and health and wellness, and at the same time, get a free dinner. So we'll talk to the folks at Hip Hop is Green and the Housing Authority of Baltimore City. Yes, first and foremost, we have not been making a big fuss about this. But if you did not know, here on the illustrious campus of Morgan State University, it is officially homecoming 2019. Yes. 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 Yeah. Homecoming is always a great and big time of year. We got the major homecoming concert that's going to be happening tomorrow night. Saturday is the big game with the Morgan State Bears. But this weekend, I will have the great honor and the privilege and pleasure of hosting, along with my sister, Calais, from Mornings with Mikkel. We're going to be hosting the School of Global Journalism and Communication brunch, or breakfast brunch, that's going to be hosted here at the SGJC building right here on the illustrious campus of Morgan State University. That's going to be kicking off at 9 a.m. This is open to all past and present and future communication students. So if you want to get some more information about how you can be a part of this fantastic celebration as we not only celebrate the next generation of writers and communicators, but more importantly, we celebrate and honor those who have decided to take all that they've learned from this wonderful institution of higher learning and take it and go out into the world and be great. We're going to be honoring those students in past, as well as providing encouragement for those who are presently going to the School of Global Journalism and Communication, led by Dean Dwayne Wickham. So that's going to be happening this Saturday. I'm very excited about this, that I could be a part of the homecoming activities with Calais event of Mornings with Mikkel. So if you want to get more information about that, make sure you check us out at weaa.org. All right, folks, I got to let you know what's going on with this situation around school, the school mass shootings and threats. It's a big thing. Big thing. Now, my colleague, Dr. K, has done a wonderful job in talking about school shootings. You know, when you listen to her and she talks about it in detail and the ramifications and all of those things, I think she's spot on with a lot of her analysis and insight and certainly her thoughts on this issue. But then when you start to look at, okay, let's have this conversation around school threats. How serious should we take a student's threat? This was one of the big questions that came up in the course of a conversation about school safety, because now the district here in Baltimore City, according to this report, is a growing group of school systems across the country that are implementing formal procedures for how officials should respond to direct and indirect threats made against teachers and or students. Now, there is a training, there is a school of thought that is out there right now that has originally started by none other than the federal government when they decided that when these school shootings were happening in the early 90s, and then we saw what happened in Columbine in 1999, then the federal government decided to take action by putting together some reports and research on what schools can do to become much more safer. Now, this whole effort was led by none other than the United States Secret Service. Yes, that agency that is responsible for the safety and welfare of presidents and all of the dignitaries, high-profile dignitaries of our country. The U.S. States Secret Service, along with members of the Education Department and many other agencies, decided to come together to talk about this issue of school shootings. But they have now decided to take what they've learned from U.S. safety, Secret Service. There we go. And they decided to see how it can be applied to schools, specifically serving students K through 12. Can you imagine that? So some of the training, some of the ideas, some of the philosophy is coming from the Secret Service, and it trickles right down to the schools. So they looked at this whole thing called threats, or the, as they termed, threat assessment. Now, this is where things start to get a little gray, folks, because now we're in a point in time because we've had, unfortunately, a lot of mass shootings and, more unfortunately, a lot of mass shootings on school property. So now there's coming to a point where schools are now being told by the federal government that you have to have some policies and procedures, essentially a plan in place that are going to protect students and teachers. So with this whole idea of threat assessment, it's very, very easy. It's very simple. Threat assessment, according to Education Week and according to the research, is this process of distinguishing transient threats from serious ones in a systematic, data-informed way. Now, the question proponents say isn't so much whether a student has made a threat as whether he or she poses one. So oftentimes, like young people do, we hear young people often say things like, now you might use in today's slang terms, I will drag you. What does that mean? More importantly, teachers, administrative staff will have to look at that threat, look at that student and say, okay, young people talk like that about each other often. Where if a young person say, man, I'd shoot up this place or I will do this or I will do that. Now, teachers and administrators are going to become more trained on how to determine the difference between what, quote unquote, transient threat from a serious one. And the, now it leads us in this very, very kind of like crossroads to determine, like, if a student is saying a threat, are they a serious threat to the welfare of the school? Now, in their publication, the Secret Service and U.S. Department of Education, they put out this publication back in 2002 that concluded that the perpetrators in many of those incidents, in terms of mass shootings, they telegraphed their plans ahead of time. Yet, that information was not shared with administrators or the police. So now what we're looking at now, folks, is that in Baltimore City, for example, Baltimore City is in the state of Maryland. It's one of the latest rounds of states whose school districts are going to be required to have these policies and plans, procedures put together. Baltimore City is currently working on their policies and plans. They were expected to have them done by September 1st. However, they're still working out all the kinks of their ideas, and they're going to be voting on these policies and procedures on mass shootings and threat assessments at their November 12th board meeting. So, again, if you want to be a part of those conversations, I would highly suggest that you be at that particular board meeting on November the 12th. Now, according to the reports, this is going to create a model for systems to follow. When the state is going to look at this and say, okay, how do we make sure that things are happening? If a student says one thing, what is going to be in place? Well, technically, what needs to be in place, let me just share with you what education and experts and school safety experts are simply saying, that if a threat is made by a student, that the student has to be reported. And then the teachers would go and start to get the ball rolling on talking to the student, looking at the behavior of the student, and determining whether this student, where is this student in the spectrum of making that threat a reality. Now, their behavior is going to be looked at. The guidance counsel is going to be brought into this conversation. School records are going to be reviewed. All of these things are going to be determined. Then parents are going to be notified. And then the students that have beef with one another are going to be brought to the table. This is an ideal situation which should be happening. What they have found, unfortunately, across the board, not necessarily here in the state of Maryland, or even in Baltimore City. But what they're finding is that there is a breakdown in the communication when you see these mass shootings. Even though a lot of these shooters are already saying the things that they were planning to do. And so what this policy, what these procedures will do is start to give teachers, give staff people an opportunity to recognize, to identify the transient threats from the serious ones. But there is a role that parents and community members can play into this whole process. That role is really listening to your children, listening to the children around your children, keeping an eye out for behavior changes, especially in your children, your children's friends. You gotta, we all have to be open to seeing what can possibly happen. Now, if you don't think that mass shootings can happen in the city of Baltimore because they really haven't happened in the city of Baltimore, you're already on the wrong foot, folks. Anything can really happen. But I want us to have a conversation about this. Is how serious should we take a student's threat? Give me a call, 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. And if you're an educator, you're an administrator, you work in a school, let me know if the school that you're working in, has there been a discussion about how to handle threats? Has there been a threat assessment done? Are you finding that the policies and procedures that may be coming from the state, are they realistic? Let's have a conversation on how we can get prepared for this for a situation that might turn very, very fatal and deadly. Now, there's also a couple of things I want to keep in mind, because when we talk about threat assessment, it's often not a part of the larger conversation about schools. There's often two sides of the narrative, two sides. One supports what they call the hardening of schools, which can include everything from installing security cameras, hiring more school resource officers. But then the other side is looking at are there services that are available for students? Do you actually have a guidance counselor? If a student is not feeling good, they're angry or upset for the day, what is the process? What is the protocol for that student to have someone to talk to them? Is there mediation happening after school? All of these things. So let's talk about those. Are generally like the two sides, and we jump on this idea of more people. Should the schools need to have more resource officers? We even talked about the idea of teaching arming themselves. But I truly see that both sides have a value, have valid points. But how do we create a plan of action that brings the best of both sides into the discussion and then integrating them to create a much safer space for our children and for our students? Join me in this conversation. 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. Let's go to Charmaine kicking us off tonight, checking in from Essex. Charmaine, how serious should we take a student's threat?
I take it very serious. I have two daughters that are in high school, one in a senior.
Yeah.
And then the other that's a sophomore. And they go to two different schools because they go to magnet schools. And my daughter was telling me, well, first I got an announcement from my youngest daughter's school that there was online social media threat made against the school, and they were looking for the student. Now everybody's worried, worked up and everything. Mind you, the kids didn't know anything about it. And I'm sitting here and hitting my daughter up like, what's going on? What do you know about it? She was like, what are you talking about, Mom? So, of course, the kids don't know anything about it, but, like, how could you say that to the parents and get them worked up and then turn around, I'm calling my child to get them worked up, only for you to later on so-called find out who the student was and no serious reprimand. Once the kids found out about it,
yeah,
and they found out who the student was, the student is still there.
So, the student made a threat via social media.
Mm-hmm.
some of the students saw this threat. You know, some of the students knew that the student made a threat. And you're saying the school, what was the school's response, like the principal or for the teacher or for it? What was the school's response?
The principal sent out a recorded message simply stating that they were aware of the situation.
Okay.
They take it very seriously, and it will be addressed, very seriously.
Right.
And they're making the parents pretty much on notice.
Okay.
So with that being said, when we're questioning our kids, we're following up with the school, they're not taking any calls, they're not addressing it any further, no details.
Yeah.
But then when they come back with it, they said that they found out who the student was, but there was no serious reprimand to the student, like expulsion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Anything like that, because my thing is, you have these kids sitting in, just like Dave Chappelle said, on the Alice trainings, which I think is bogus, because it sounds like they're giving the attacker more power and making them more vulnerable opposed to the other, trainings I've been a part of.
Yeah.
With me formerly working in the university. So I was like, you're letting them know all of the safe tactics, how to really come after these kids, and you didn't pull that student out the school?
So based on from what I'm seeing, Charmaine, one is that depending on, and this is where it could get muddy because, you know, back in the day, back in the 90s, you probably can recall when the schools had, like, this zero tolerance policy on certain things, right?
Exactly.
Right? So, like the time, like, I went to school, and this is interesting now, but this is how some schools are governed. There's a zero tolerance policy for some schools and for some infractions of the school policy. But then if for other things, you don't get sent home. You don't get suspended anymore, right?
Exactly.
Right. You don't get suspended anymore. And what they're, I think some of the schools are kind of in this conundrum because they're trying to figure out if a student, like you're saying, this student made a threat, they're trying to figure out schools have the power to determine whether that threat is a real threat to the safety and well-being of the school, or is it just a student saying some stuff because they're angry? You know what I'm saying?
And I agree with you, but my thing is, so what happens when the student comes back and then all the kids are either looking at them crazy or talking crap about them? Now they're going to be, what's the word I'm looking for? They're going to be sitting here getting picked on, which is pretty much make whatever they were feeling 10 times worse.
Right.
It will probably, make them really want to come out and do something. So how does that bring about safety overall to the school?
That's where the school, I think, Charmaine, that's where the school has to have a conversation with the community, both parents and the students and the staff, whether it's that communication can happen through a letter, it can be, a special back to school night. That level of communication would have to happen to inform folks that, look, we saw the situation. This is how we handled it. This is how we plan to deal with it. You know what I mean? And then go a step by step and letting people know, because that is oftentimes the problem. If a school's, because look, we send our children to school on a trust factor that they are going to be just as serious about the safety and well-being of our children as we are as parents, right?
Exactly.
So if a school sends out a message and says, we got this essentially, right? Don't worry, we got it, we addressed it. And then a couple of weeks later, some stuff sparks off. You know what I'm saying? It just doesn't. You know what I'm saying? It not only causes loss of life, but the trust factor is just completely destroyed. So that's the thing. And I think we should have conversations with our principals and our administrators and like your school teachers and just simply ask them if there was any type of real issue, like if there was a threat that was posed, does the school have a plan on how to address it? Now, in Baltimore City, we're not seeing that just yet because now they're still putting these policies together. But we should be a part of those conversations from the very beginning and not be the victims of it on the back end.
And my thing is, I think they should approach it just on the same level as you, like with me being a parent. Like you said, it's all about safety, and I'm putting the trust in them to take care of my child's well-being.
Yeah.
When I, as a parent, fall short of taking care of my child, they have no problem stepping in and investigating the situation at
sure.
the school to get child services
sure.
involved to take my child out of the situation. Why is it not on that same level in accord when it comes to issues like this?
Yeah.
Why is it not that important to remove them children out of those homes? Because something's not right with these kids, especially not at home or not at school.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a great point. Great point, Charmaine. Thank you so much for checking in from Essex. That's an excellent point. And in a case like that, one of the school safety experts, there was a woman from Howard County. She works for the school safety center out there in Hartford County. And she made that very point. But she said something I think that has to be considered, which is you got to take each incident case by case and can't just kind of paint this broad stroke over one student and then that represents all students. Look, I got to take my first break. When we come back, folks, I want us to continue this conversation. How serious should we take a student's threat? Let me know your thoughts about this as we talk about creating and preparing a plan to keep our children safe at school. 410-319-8888. Stay riding with me. It's For the Culture here on WEAA.
I do this for my culture, 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 culture.
Peace and welcome back to For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this evening, folks. We're talking about threats. We're talking about what they call threat assessments. We're talking about how do schools get prepared for school shootings. And the fact that in the city of Baltimore and in some other districts around the state of Maryland, they are just getting to the beginnings part, so the beginning phase of having policies and procedures and a protocol around how to handle threats coming from students, threats that can be aimed at other students or even threats aimed at teachers and staff. And so one of the big questions that we have is, as we're asking tonight, is how serious should we take a student's threat, right? I mean, if you're talking about a threat assessment for a child, so if a 10-year-old, a 15-year-old, 16-year-old saying, look, you know what? I'm going to go to, all right, you got me. Okay. They might experience some level of heartbreak. They might have experienced something that caused them to get angry. They're just not having a good day. So we got to look at, like, how do we find some peace and, most importantly, some sanity in a situation where a child feels like their only recourse for being heard or not to be bullied anymore is through violence. So if a threat is made, I will drag you. If a threat is made, okay, all right, see me after school. What should be done in these schools to make sure that that threat is not a reality? Now, here's another part of this, folks. I want you to join me, 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. There's a culture. I grew up in this culture, and I'm sure many of you have grown up in this culture. The culture of laughing at people, right? The culture of joking people, as we said. We used to joke on somebody. We used to laugh at them. We make fun of them. We tease them. That culture is still prevalent, even more so now than ever before. Are our children, and I'm just asking because I don't know the answer, but do you think our children are emotionally resilient to have that thick skin to not take those jokes, those laughs, those insults and those teases to the point where they can kind of brush them off without feeling like they have to, you know, respond in violence. Because that's a very, very real culture within the Black community, folks, especially in a school setting. When you have Black students, the Black students come around depending on what you wear that day, how your hair look, what's on your face. And that could potentially be the seed where someone can take something that was said out of humor, out of jest, and then decided to take into a much violent and dark place. Let's talk about this threat assessment. 410-319-8888. All right, Leo, talk to me. Bolton Hill checking in. What's your take on this, Leo? We got Leo on the line.
Hello?
Yep, we got you now, Leo. What's your take?
Okay. Brother Faraji Muhammad, I think we've got to toughen up our students and toughen up our standards. The uniform code of public school discipline is necessary. One uniform code applies to the elementary school, another to the middle school, and the third to the high school. In other words, this business of individualism, I understand individuals are different. We all are. But there has to be some fear of consequences. There's got to be a standard imposed so that students and parents and teachers and everybody know what the consequences are if you conscientiously violate the rules that are laid out for you. The school shooting safety drills, very important. Teen suicides were unheard of back in the day when I was going to school. I'm scratching my head. Cyberbullying, they say today, causes folks to kill themselves.
That's what Charmaine was talking about. Yep.
I don't understand that. All I understand is that we've allowed the Facebook and the technology and social media to program our children in ways that are detrimental to their health, safety, and well-being.
Yeah.
They've reduced the number of Baltimore City school police officers because they say they're not necessary. I beg to differ.
So Leo, it sounds like you are on the stand. Well, tell me, which side of the spectrum are you on? Are you on the side where it says more resource officers? You know, some schools even has gone as far, and I'm not saying any schools in Baltimore City, but they have metal detectors. They are talking about installing cameras on schools. Are you on that side of the spectrum, or are you talking about some on the other side?
You have to have, of course, you have to have counselors and all of those things.
Right.
Because we don't have truant officers anymore, which is a mistake. We don't have counselors. When I was in school, we had counselors in the public schools. But, yes, we do in a realistic world where guns are readily available to everybody in the American society. You've got to have cameras. You've got to have metal detectors. You've got to do everything you can to prevent harm from coming to our children. But at the same time, we've got to have administrators who don't coddle children, but who love them and manifestly love them. But we have to let them know that what standards apply to everybody in a given institution. And what I'm seeing hurts my feelings. I'm still reeling from what happened to that teacher at Douglas High School. I'm a graduate of Douglas High School. The teacher almost gets her jaw broken. And Sonia Santelises and company in the schools say, well, we don't know what to do about this. We're going to assess the... No, if you break the teacher's jaw, you attack a teacher and it's unprovoked, we should issue an arrest warrant at the high school level. I didn't say in kindergarten, but the high school level, you've got to be in charge lest the students who are the minority of troublemakers, they become in charge, and then they bully the teachers, and they bully other students as well.
I got you. Leo Barrows checking in from Bolton Hill. Let's hear from Cheryl. Good point, Leo. Cheryl, what's your take on this, ma'am? Thank you for checking in.
No, Leo made some very good points. However, when it comes to social media, I think one of the biggest issues for us is that it's being used for more negative than positive, you know?
Yeah.
Which is what it was intended for. Now, when it comes to teacher-student confrontation, bullying, You know, it seems like it's a two different views coming from the teacher versus the student.
Right.
As a former teacher myself, you know, if I say something out the way to you because you somehow, you hit a nerve with me or you're in my personal space, then it's like, oh, you're wrong. You're the professional. That's all the question. Who was the professional? But we all have a personal space.
But let me ask you this, though, Cheryl. As a teacher, how did you determine if a student was serious or not so serious when a threat was made?
Well, I mean, it's just their countenance, you know, and the way how forceful they came forth with the comment. And then when you're walking towards me, you're not walking towards me just to stand in my face. Then I feel like you're really putting me in a threatening position.
Right.
And it's going to force me, in a sense, to be ready to defend myself.
So do you think
teacher over at Douglas, she was just, from what I understand, asking the student to go to the office or to be seated, one or the other.
Right.
And you just walk right up and strike her.
Right, right,
she said
right.
Nothing to disrespect you.
Right.
You know, she was being a teacher.
Right, right.
You know, trying to diffuse disruption in her class so that she could teach, you know, not just the rest of the students, but you as well. So, you know,
but do you think, Cheryl, that there needs to be a sort of like a plan of action, a protocol, some sort of mandate on how to handle threats from students to students or student to teachers?
Well, yes, and my whole thing is we can't take it lightly. We can't just do a tap on the hand and say, don't do it anymore.
Right.
They need to fully understand that this is a serious matter. Because now if I found out your parents say, I want something done with him or her.
Right.
You know, you're down North Avenue until it's investigated, and you're not guaranteed that you're going to return.
There it is. Cheryl,
so
I'll let you go.
Your job and your livelihood is on the line.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Cheryl, I appreciate you for checking in. 410-319-8888, folks. We're talking about threat assessment. We're talking about being in a school setting and then making sure that our schools are truly prepared when students utter certain threats in order to prevent mass shootings or any type of school shootings. Now, threat assessment is a prevention-based strategy, folks. So that is a way for us to stop the shootings from occurring. But you got to be, you have to have your eyes open, and you have to be skilled or trained enough to see or to determine, okay, let me see what's going on with the student. Let me check the student's files. Let me check this, you know, if the student has a disciplinary record. You know, let me talk to the student. Let me talk to the other students around this student. I see the student as a loner. You know what I mean? Let me talk to some folks that are in his class. Like, it has to be done, that extra work, right? Again, we have been really, really blessed that we haven't had any major school shootings on the grounds of any Baltimore City public schools being as a result of a student deciding that wanted to take someone's life. We've been really blessed in that. But there needs to be some preparation. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Let me hear what you got to say. 410-319-8888. How serious should we take a student threat? I still want to talk about this thing of doing threat assessments for children. When you're talking about children, young people, 10, 12, 15, 16, 17, 18, I mean, trying to figure out if this child is just saying some transient threats or they're actually posing as a threat. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Eric. Eric, what's your take on this, sir?
Good afternoon, my brother. As always, I'm an advocate. I love to hear Brother Leo call in because that's a brother that needs to have his own show also on WTAA. He's always about the truth.
I hear that.
You mentioned something a little bit earlier about laughing and joking.
Yeah.
That is a catalyst for more violence than we care to talk about, than we care to mention. It's a catalyst that leads to the it goes from joking to satire to insults to finding physical violence.
Yep.
And a lot of it starts with people having a laugh at somebody else's expense.
Yep.
Now, if you don't think that this is real, let's take it to the international level. Donald Trump has played that game to the max.
Absolutely.
What does he say? Look at them. They're laughing at you. They're laughing at us. I had an incident on my job where a piece of equipment had a failure that I swapped it out. And I'm talking to a person in the electrical department. And as we're sitting there talking, I pulled the piece out and I said, look at this, made in China. And his first remark was, you know, I'll bet those people are laughing at us. Those people are probably laughing. Now, immediately I know this is a Trump supporter because that's the first thing that comes out of his mouth. Now, you know, you have to think, do you really think that says somebody in the Sichuan province of China working at a factory making electrical parts that are sitting there going, ho, 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 you stupid Americans, you dumb people, ho, ho. Do you really think that happened?
Mm.
No, it doesn't happen. You and I know that doesn't. Those people are concerned about having a job, having food, clothing, and shelter, and raising families. We are the last things on their mind.
Right.
But the Trumpets have locked into laughing at us. And even down at the local school level, we see how that escalates the violence.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Eric. I appreciate you. Thank you for checking in. You're absolutely right. I think we take that part of the equation. We don't think about it that often, right? We don't think that it's very serious. I'm serious, folks. I'm asking a question about emotional resilience. You know what I mean? Like, and you could tell if your child can handle being teased. And some of us, I've heard so many parents and I've heard so many people say this. I got through it, and look how I turned out. Look how you turned out. Well, I mean, I don't know if that's a good measurement, because nobody likes to be laughed at. Nobody likes to be felt made fun of, right? So when we talk about the culture, and I think that speaks to the school climate, When you allow those things to happen, when you have a teacher that, you know, a teacher that's in, that gets in on a joke. Teacher starts just sending out cracks and dokes and all of that stuff. How that creates a certain environment, right? How that creates a certain environment where a child may not want to be at the school, or they might be feeling isolated, or they don't feel like they belong anywhere. Man, oh man, that's a very, very major seed that's being planted in the heart and mind of that child. And so when that child may speak some level of threat, that's when this laughing stops. There has to be some real intervention there to save lives. Let's go back to the phone lines, 410-319-8888. Who we got on the line? We have, is this Lellen?
Yes.
Lellen, talk to me. Thank you for checking in. What's your take on this?
Okay, my take on it is, you know, I was listening to you and you were talking about when you went to school, how y'all used to call it joking.
Yes.
Well, I'm a little older. We called it joning on each other.
Joning on that was always a DC term to us, though.
Yeah.
That was a DC term. You know, I'm from the city, so you call you a joker, you'd be like, you a Bama. You know what I mean?
There you go.
Right.
But you know, I worked in the school system.
Right.
And in Baltimore County, and what I find, not only do I think that the administration is not stepping up to the plate, because I think they make school is so comfortable now. You know, I mean, you know, I believe a lot of it starts at home, you know, with some universal principles, you know, because when I grew up, you know, you didn't think about getting a gun or somebody, if you had a confrontation with somebody,
yeah,
you know, you got in a fight. You know, and most of the time, the person you was fighting, y'all end up being friends anyway, right?
Well, that's back in the day.
Right, but see, you would never think about disrespecting a teacher. You know, like the gentleman said earlier, I think on the high school level, when these kids start assaulting teachers,
yeah,
or creating bodily harm to individuals, then they need to be arrested. They need, you know, I mean, they may not need to go to jail, but they need to go somewhere, you know, because, you know, a lot of this is just behavioral issues.
Okay, so that must stop you right, Lellen, and you're right. And that's how traditionally it's been handled, right?
Right.
That's how it's – there was a school, and I forgot the name of the school. It escapes me now. But then we had a school in Baltimore City for many years was known as the school where a lot of those outcasts, quote-unquote, of the other schools were placed in this one building. And, folks, somebody remind me what that name is. But there was a school like that in Baltimore City. And I was often asking myself, like, okay, so what are we doing here? Like, is this, are they being taught something differently about themselves and how and the world around them? Like what kind of redemption, what kind of healing, what is happening in the schools? Now, I get that schools should be safe, right? But then we can't go so far in one end of the spectrum to say we need police at the school and then go so far on the other end and say, oh, we just need some counselors. We have to find a happy medium between those two realities. And so, go ahead, brother.
I believe that the community needs to get more involved with schools, because, like, when I went to school and probably when you went,
yeah,
you know, our parents went to PTA meetings and, you know, you know, I know mine did, right? You know, and then, like, and like the principals and, you know, like, they would have parent-teachers night.
Yeah.
You know, and the parents would go, right? You know, because a lot of times you have a lot of good kids out here, and there's only a few, right? You know, a lot of them be yearning for attention. You know, we've allowed the streets to get our kids because even Baltimore City had a school up to last year called Benjamin Banneker.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You know, and I've never seen sixth grade kids throwing chairs out of windows or cussing at teachers, right? No respect, you know. And a lot of times, me being a custodian, I would just pull them to the side and find out where they at.
So, and Lellen, what you did was a part of this threat assessment, because that child that's throwing a chair today might come in with a gun tomorrow. Without that intervention, I gotta let you go, Lellen, and I appreciate you.
All right, okay.
I appreciate you, brother. Let's go to Marie before we take our next break. Marie, what's your take on this, ma'am?
I was hoping someone forgot. Hi, Viraji.
Hey.
I want to say that the situation is so it's so mixed up, right? Because it's in one way, it's so many ways to look at it. And
yeah.
I think about emotional resilience, especially when it comes to that.
Yeah.
Because emotional resiliency, I know that. You know, oftentimes the rhetoric was that black people, especially black children, were more emotionally resilient.
Aggressive.
Than many other types of people. When you look at suicide rates, and I'm not even talking about more recent stuff with social media, but before, like.
Sure.
Who can handle getting, you know, laid off from their job.
Yeah.
Right, or not. And so whether the numbers prove that or not, it just felt like in the black community, we were more emotionally resilient because maybe we had more ACEs to deal with, more ACE factors to deal with. Growing up as adults, we become more resilient when it comes to whether it's stress or poverty or whatever the case may be, because of our collective experiences, or maybe because we had more of a community. For whatever reason, culturally, it seemed that we had more things going on culturally that allow us to withstand a lot of issues as adults.
Yeah.
Whether maybe that was my perspective or many black people's perspective, I wasn't amongst white folks a lot when I was young to understand what their perspectives on that were.
Sure.
If the science would prove it, but that was once a belief.
Well, let me ask you this really quickly, Marie. Do you think that today's generation, today's young people, have that emotional resilience?
Now, see, that's why I say it's so tricky, because now I think they do, but then at the same time, we also have that conversation a lot around what's bullying, what's not, and
yeah.
Sometimes things that were once considered nothing at all or something that you just learned to really deal with is now a thing where it's bullying, and so then it's a generational thing, too. Now the parents are like, you sure that's bullying? You sure you're getting bullied?
Right.
Defined as bully, because now culturally we're so separated from that. So what our children were accepted as a cultural thing before in the past is not now so much considered okay.
That's right.
Because we're more integrated with other cultures now.
Absolutely. You know what, Marie? You hit the head right on the nail. I want to, we got to take a quick break, but I want to continue this part of the conversation because I want us to talk a little bit more about this. Ryan, when we come back, don't go anywhere. You're going to be my next caller to share your thoughts. But folks, we're talking about threat assessment. We're talking about what schools can do to help make their schools much more safer. But more importantly, how serious should we take a student's threat? We're in this day and time now, folks, where we have mass shootings, these school shootings that are happening, but we may not have the skills to determine who is going to be the next threat and whether somebody is just talking out the side of their neck, as they say. Look, join me in this conversation, 410-319-8888. Stay riding with me. It's For the Culture here on WEAA.